Android Guys podcast. I'm sitting here with John. Hello, John.
Hey, Scott.
How are you doing today?
Horrible.
Ah,
psych. Just try to switch it up.
You got
so me. It's not the same thing every week.
You got me. Today we're going to talk about Android One. This is something that has kind of popped up over the last few years, and initially kind of confusing to some, myself included, that I didn't know quite where Google was going to go with this and what was the difference between Android Go, which is something we talked about in the past.
Right.
You know, Android Go, for those who don't know, or as a refresher, that's the stripped-down version of Android for devices that don't have too much hardware on them. These are the low-cost, like, entry-level barrier, you know, I just need a phone, I just need something that's, you know, going to serve my needs. And for a lot of people, that looks like, you know, the emerging markets. That's just, I don't, you know, obviously I don't need anything special. I just want to be able to communicate.
So yeah.
That's kind of where Android Go is. Now, with Android One, this kind of started out as something similar. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, in 2014, Google announced Android One. This was focused on entry-level devices for emerging markets. So a lot of overlap between those. Just in that idea. So it first launched in the Indian market, and we saw that some of the first devices, these weren't manufacturers that, you know, we are familiar with at all in the United States. There was, let's see here, Micromax, Spice, Carbon.
Right.
You know, these are
names that I'm familiar with.
Right. The first markets to see these devices would have been India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and so forth. And then it started to roll out a little bit more into other markets in, you know, later that year and even into 2015. And what you get from that is a little bit, I mean, I'm trying to think how to segue it to where it is today without trying to jump through the entire timeline.
Right.
Today, and I'll just do it.
Yeah.
It basically is a it's an initiative behind Google that says, hey, we're going to work with these OEMs, these phone manufacturers. They're going to install Android. It's going to be a stripped down version of Android. This is kind of like, you know, no bloatware, no extra.
When you say stripped down, do you mean stripped down Android or pure Android?
Pure, yeah. That's actually a better way to qualify that. Yeah. Stripped down, when I think of that,
I feel that's more Go.
Yeah.
That's it's Android Go.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So it's a similar to what we have in the United States, like with the Nexus One all the way through the Nexus models and into today's Pixel lines. These are the Android as Google develops it, as they intend it, and they don't put anything on there that's going to be, you know, partial to a particular carrier, and even the phone makers, you know, this is a device that, you know, is made by Google now, but let's say the Samsung, when it was the, I'm trying to think here, the Nexus Galaxy. I can't remember, but either way.
Yeah.
That was a stock version of Android.
Right. That was by far my favorite phone.
To date?
Almost to date.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
It's weird because, like, that phone with that version of Android, it sounds silly, but it brought me so much joy having that phone. Like, I love the way it felt in my hand. I love the version of Android on it. It was pure. It was just so clean. And it really just – I think it was, like, that first phone that I guess kind of, like, fell in love with. And it was, like – so it just kind of was always, like – this is a great phone. Like, this is what Android should be. This is what the phone should be. And it was like, to me, it just kind of felt perfect.
Well, it was the Galaxy Nexus. I did
double check that.
But that was Android 4, Honeycomb. And that was a completely different kind of like UI and aesthetic and user interface that we hadn't really seen. And that was that kind of like Tron inspired, you know, with the blue lines and the colors. And it was really cool. So So that's the Nexus, you know, and then we saw that with the Nexus 6P. It's a Huawei device, Motorola with the Nexus 6. These were devices that were manufactured by other companies but had the pure stock Android experience, where that's what Android One is now. So that's one of the things, and we'll go back here real quick. You know, in 2015, it launched, you know, other markets, Nigeria, Egypt, Kenya, United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, Indonesia. There were other, you know, markets that it started to kind of get outside of like the emerging.
Right.
And became a little bit different. And that's kind of where we've seen it evolve to today. 2017 was pretty influential, big deal. The first device from Xiaomi. And this is the first one under like the new program that they do, which is basically saying this is unmodified Android. It's the latest in software mixed with hardware. And this is where it kind of gets away from these are low-cost devices that are, you know, entry-level hardware with minimal, you know, processor and RAM, you know, just the basics, where now it's kind of like, hey, we can do this with mid-range and upper-end phones.
Yeah.
So the Xiaomi Mi A1 was the first Android One device that was released and actually looks like 36 markets, according to Wikipedia. 2017 was also a big deal for us here in the United States because that's when Google Fi, which is... At the time, I think it was still Project.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was Project Fi because that just flipped over this year.
Yeah, well, last year because we're in 2019. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm pedantic. 2017... the first Android One device in the United States, and that was the Android One version of the Motorola Moto X. Moto X4.
Yes.
And I loved that device.
Right.
I still use that device. It's one of our favorite phones to use in my family as the Pokemon Go phone.
Nice.
It's upstairs. It's still got a full charge on it right now. It's one where if we go out, it's plenty of phone for what we wanted to do with it. Obviously, it can't compete on paper with some of today's phones, but, you know, here we are a year and a half, 2 years later from, you know, the Moto X4 was, you know, it had been out for a short while, but then it became, you know, Google said, hey, we're going to do this as part of our Android One initiative. So we've seen a handful of other carriers that will work with the devices for the Moto X4. It works with any carrier, and that's really nice because you buy the device and then you get to decide. And that's something we talked about in the last podcast,
right?
The beauty of unlocked devices. And that's what a lot of these phones are. So these aren't sold through carriers, but the carriers support them, of course. They're certified. They work with their networks. But it gives people the ability to buy a device that's not beholden to the carrier with their apps, their games. Here's our cloud service. Here's our preferred web browser. And here's a game or two that we think you should have on your phone. That's, you know, you're not getting any of that.
Yeah.
And today we also have HMD Global, which is the company that makes Nokia. There are a few devices that you can buy today, even, you know, directly through the Android One program. And if you go to Google's website for Android One, you can see that there are quite a few phones that you can choose from. You can't really buy them through Google's website. It basically hands you off to the different phone makers' websites.
Okay.
You can purchase them directly. And it's not just US. It's, you know, if you go to look at it, you'll get, you know, put to India.
Regional or UK redirects.
Yeah. So it'll redirect you to where that, you know, and you can buy which model or version of that device you want to get. But
and I remember when this Android One initiative really launched, and especially when the Motorola X came, the Moto X, that was to me finally, this to me was like, here is a list of products a list of devices that I know I will like. Mm-hmm. You know, because the vanilla Android as it's built has always been to me the best version of Android. You know, I have also liked a lot of the Motorola because they never seem to go too far away from Android, opposed to some like Samsung and LG, and you know, they've to me just, you know, brought a little too far where they it didn't seem as usable as for a UI. But the Android One saying like, this is going to stay stock Android and it's going to be clean, it's going to work, and then you know where it's at. It's also the same, you know, between devices.
Right.
This is always, I think, really exciting to know, like, here's a group of phones that you know is going to look good, it's going to work well, and it's going to kind of have that support of Google behind it, and you'll know how to you know, look up problems, look up issues easily, because it's all going to be the same steps.
Exactly. Right. And as, you know, fanboys and early adopters and enthusiasts and people who spend a lot of time on forums and discussing it, you know, maybe it's a vocal minority of people.
Yeah.
But there's that group of people that clamor for stock Android. Well, mm-hmm. we don't really have too many devices here that you can do that with. It's, I got to go Nexus, or I got to have, you know, some kind of a custom ROM that I flash on my device. So it's really nice to have that, and to have basically here in the US, the Nexus be, you know, now the Pixel line.
Right.
And you look at these as, here is Google's version of the hardware and the software, where you can say, well, I really like Nokia's hardware, but I don't want to get the one from Sprint because it's got these apps, or I don't want to buy the one from AT&T because it's preloaded with all this junk. But you can buy it directly, and you know what you're getting. And not only is it just stock Android, but the Android One, I guess, initiative, I would call it, is, you know, they promise that you're going to get at least 2 years of software updates.
That's good.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
And if you're not buying it from a carrier, then you don't have that.
You're not waiting for the carrier to do their approval process and updates and changes.
Right. So if something is rolled out today, officially released and available, then you're not waiting 3-4 months for that. Now, there's a whole conversation of whether people even know software updates exist.
Right.
Whether they like them. There are people who say, I hate updates because they change the way it looks, where things work.
Right.
My phone feels slower after, but when you're dealing with stock Android, if you've ever had a Nexus phone or a Pixel phone or even like a Motorola phone that's basically Android as it's intended, it's timely. You get your updates and you don't have drastic changes from one to the next. So that's a big deal. And then perhaps more importantly, no matter what phone you get, whether it's Android One or not, you want to have critical updates. Maybe it's not UI and giant, you know, refreshes and features, but you want to make sure that, hey, my phone is not vulnerable to these new phishing things or these new malware or any of these things that are basically exploiting software. So Android One promises regular security updates for 3 years. That's a lot of peace of mind. That's something that most companies are afraid to kind of come out and say themselves. You know, Samsung, a lot of companies will say, here's our list of devices that will get this update. But they don't say beyond that.
That's so true.
You know, so you get to where it's like, well, I know that, you know, Android 9 is available and I'm thinking about getting it, but I'm going to wait till fall. Well, then fall comes around and Google pushes out Android Q, Android 10 or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you buy your phone, and then, well, am I going to get Q or not? Like, well, yeah, it's promised. It's the most recent phone, so of course, you know, naturally it's going to get it. But then what if you had a phone that's a year or two behind that? Do you get the update? You know, you got to really kind of pay attention.
Yeah.
Now, again, you might not even know. There's a group
of people who care. And
right.
Yeah.
But when you see the big splashy headlines and the things that kind of lead the news cycle of, you know, security and things that were found to be malicious or things that were exploiting.
Right. I think those, you know, to have those security updates to me, it is the this is the most important, because you want to make sure that if you're buying this device for yourself, that it is secured and it's getting updated and you're not leaving this up to the manufacturer. But I think, you know, another thing, depending on if you're the type of person listening to this and you're supporting family, maybe you're supporting phones in your organization, whether officially or unofficially. Right. You're the guy or gal who everybody goes to in your company for this, or you're the one who's taking care of, you know, mom and brother, sister, dad, aunt, uncle, whatever. Like, there's also kind of an advantage here too. If you're recommending phones and you're supporting phones, because, you know, you're not going to memorize every menu, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to be using, say, a Pixel device or a Android One device, and your phone menus are the same as the other people you're supporting, this to me makes it so much better. And when you know these phones are going to get the same upgrades, mm-hmm. so when they call you, say, hey, my phone's doing this, or how do I do this on the phone? You can pull out your phone, walk through it, and step it. And to me, that, I know it may be a minority, but it's like, if you're that person's doing this, this kind of is a big deal to recommend a phones from this list, because you know if you're supporting them, it makes it easier on you.
Yeah, the topic of what some of the phone companies do to their UI, that it's a whole lot better than it used to be. But I can't tell you where something is if I've not touched that phone long enough to find these things. Where do I go to change this? On my phone, it's called this. You might want to check. Maybe it's under here. Oh, no. It's tucked under this menu. That's
the kind settings, of aggravating. It is. It really is aggravating, trying to find these settings that, especially when it is under settings and it's in a different location on a Samsung versus regular Android, it's like, come on. Like, I'm just trying to fix something real quick. I don't want to be, why change settings? You know, just, you know, let it be.
Well, I think that leads to a topic of, you know, why you want to go with stock Android. And that might be something we could pick up another time. But I think that if you're somebody who has had a stock Android experience, I think you'll find it difficult to kind of go away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if you've purchased the device outright, you own it, you know, it's just kind of like, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to get on this Pixel thing that everybody's talking about.
Right.
I have a friend who just switched from the Galaxy, I think Note 9, to the Pixel 3. And one of the first things said to me, and it was unprompted, I was kind of surprised to hear it. He's like, this feels really good.
I just saw something the other day that said the most people who are jumping to Pixels are Samsung users.
That makes sense.
Which I thought was interesting, because Samsung does there are people who really love that UI.
Yeah.
But to see that, it really kind of speaks almost to, like, even though this, it's a separate conversation from Android One, but it's the same conversation. Like, you know, the Android One even says, you know, here is like the bloatware, the Google Play protection, the, you know, the malware scanning, you know, all the stuff that Android One phones have, mm-hmm. you know, the Pixels have. And there is an attractiveness to this. So I think, you know, when we're talking about this Android One, we're saying, like, you know, this is a similar experience that other folks are looking at and say, you know what, this feels right. This feels like what a phone should be.
Yep. So that, you know, I could see why if people are switching to the Pixel and most of them are from Samsung, I think that's partially because Samsung just owns that space. Like, it's largely a Samsung world in terms of smartphones. Yeah. So that's going to kind of be a byproduct of switching. But I really feel like it's a case of, once you do it, you realize, okay, this is how it's intended. This is, you know, before anybody else gets in their hands in there and kind of paints it up a little bit and does some things. It's easy to recommend an Android One experience. You know, the conversation we had last time about Android Go and whether that phone's right for you, that experience, that's kind of a niche thing. Especially here in the US, it's not something that you're going to want to go into and say, I'm replacing a phone, I need to get, you know, it's a light version of Android. Like, well, you're going to get light hardware with that. So if you're looking for performance, Android Go is not the way you want to go. But Android One, there's definitely some great hardware. It's not just relegated to brands of companies that you've never heard of and markets you've never visited or will never buy your phone. Like Android One is something that I would love to see, you know, more prominently, even for the Pixel line, like to say this is an Android One device instead of saying Android, but this is an Android One experience.
Device. So true.
So that kind of helps establish that branding of what Android One can be. So if you're considering a phone and you're looking at, you know, any particular brand or manufacturer and you see that, definitely go for it. That's going to be the Google way of doing that, which may look different from, you know, and you can buy your phone outright from your manufacturer who may be doing their own little things to the device. Like you can buy a Samsung Galaxy S10 direct from Samsung and not get the apps that are on there from your carrier, but you're still going to get Samsung's version of what the user experience should be. So
yeah,
I recommend if you're considering an Android One or you know you're, you know what you're looking for hardware wise, definitely consider that.
Yeah, and it looks like the Nokias have really adopted this. I just wanted
quite a few, right?
Yeah, the brand new Nokia 9 PureView.
Yep.
There's just a long list of Nokias, LGs, Motorola, several brands throughout here. So the list and the options, it's not like it's this tiny list of phones that you may or may not love. The list is quite exhaustive, and there's a lot of options there from flagship style phones to mid-tier and low-tier devices that kind of would fit just about any budget and any feature set.
So do you remember there were Google Play editions of phones?
Yes.
HTC and LG and different companies were doing different phones that were Google Play editions. I remember that. This is essentially that. This is the same hardware. And, you know, it's like, hey, this is the Galaxy S4. You know, this is back in 2013. But the Galaxy S4 would be available as a Google Play edition. So that basically said it's stock Android instead of the TouchWiz and everything that Samsung had been doing at the time. HTC did it for the HTC One. Sony was out there. There were different phones and even tablets that were Google Play edition, which kind of feels like now that's where Android One is. Same hardware. Forget the software that you want to put on there. Put ours on there. Back it with security. Back it with software updates. And just kind of have the, you know, the experience that you should get out of a phone.
So, right on.
John, anything else you want to talk about here as it relates to Android One?
I would just say if you're looking to upgrade and you really want a good experience and maybe you don't want to go with a Pixel for whatever reason, I think the next step to do is to look at the Android One list of devices, and I think you're going to be the happiest with that group.
And I clicked on the Motorola One just to see what it was. And knowing Motorola for the last few years, having played with the G, the E, the X, and the Z series, that Motorola One, I was like, looking at it on the website and theoretically on paper, basically, I was attracted to it. I was like, man, $400 phone, that looks pretty sharp. That's
right.
Android, stock Android at, you know, 2/3 of the price of what you might spend on a Nexus, so, or a Pixel. And, you know, as we saw what Motorola did a few years ago with their Nexus device, they do a pretty good experience. And I really like their hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And
they do make great hardware.
And the stock software. So definitely look those up.
Awesome.
That's going to do it for this episode. This was the Android Guys podcast. My name is Scott. And John, thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys. If this was your first time listening, definitely, you know, reach out to us if you have any feedback, if you have any questions, if you have something else you want to add to the conversation, do that by emailing us at podcast@androidguys.com. And we would love it if you subscribe to us. Find us wherever you're listening to this, wherever you subscribe to your other shows. We would really appreciate if you subscribe to us as well. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.